Welcome to the Women Wives Warriors podcast, where we spill the tea and clean it up. From infertility to infidelity, from breaking glass ceilings to uncomfortable waiting seasons, from pop culture to Jesus culture, honey, we tackle it all. So hopefully you're here on purpose, but if not, God makes no mistakes. So get ready to eavesdrop on conversations with celebrities and local heroes as we get intimate about the superpowers they've discovered and the innate champion within every woman. Let's go. Hey warriors, how are y'all doing out there? I hope all is well and you are enjoying the holiday season. And first, let me say, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me introduce myself for all the new warriors on the line. I'm your host, Dacia James Lewis, and it is my complete honor to have you tuning in to our Women Wives Warriors podcast. Now, let's get started. First off, I appreciate all of your prayers and your patience. Sis had to go on a little hiatus as I ended my last semester of school. Hallelujah. I am now 2 degrees hotter, saints, in these streets after obtaining my master's degree. We did it, Joe. We did it. So again, thank you all for the love, sharing the podcast, and your patience as we roll out the end of the year. So we are back to back with it and hitting it hard with 2 bomb episodes to close out the year. But today, we are talking about control. Never gonna stop. Control. To get what I want. Yeah. Those were the lyrics of Janet Jackson's hit song, Control. And if you are anything like me, then you too can be a bit of a control freak. For me, anxiety tends to rise when I feel out of control. I will give you a prime example. Turbulence. Listen, when the plane gets to shaking, I am praying and Roshabataying on that plane, okay? I'm looking around, trying to find the flight attendants about to knock on the pilot door like, sir, ma'am, do you need me to take the wheel? Because if I got the wheel, oh, we land in this mug, okay? But what I discovered that was at the core of that anxiety and that feeling of being out of control, it was fear. But I heard this story that kind of put some things into perspective. A preacher was late for his flight. He reached the boarding gate just before it closed. Sweating and out of breath, he scanned his boarding pass at the counter and quickly made his way on the plane. Arriving at his seat, he greeted his companions, a middle-aged woman sitting at the window and a little girl sitting on the aisle seat. After stowing his bag above, he took his place between them. After the flight took off, he began a conversation with the little girl. She appeared to be about the same age as his daughter and was busy with her coloring book. He found it strange that such a young girl would be traveling alone, but he kept his thoughts to himself and decided to keep an eye on her to make sure she was okay. About an hour into the plane suddenly began experiencing turbulence. The pilot came over the PA and told everyone to fasten their seatbelts and remain calm as they encountered rough weather. Over the next half hour, the plane made drastic dips and turns, shaking all the while. Some people began crying and many were praying. The preacher was sweating and clenching his seat as tightly as he could, saying, "Oh my God," with each increasingly violent shake of the plane. Meanwhile, the little girl was sitting quietly beside him in her seat. Her coloring book and crayons were put away neatly in the seat pocket in front of her, and her hands were calmly resting on her legs. She didn't seem worried at all. Then just as suddenly as it had begun, the turbulence ended. The pilot came on a few minutes later to apologize for the bumpy ride and to announce that they would be landing soon. As the plane began its descent, the preacher said to the little girl, "You are just a little girl, but I have never met a braver person in all my life. Tell me, how is it that you remained so calm while all of us adults were so afraid?" Looking him in the eyes, she said, "My father is the pilot, and he's taking me home." Ooh, my father is the pilot. Won't that preach? But can you see yourself in this story? Like, which character are you, the preacher or the little girl? Well, more times than not, I find myself as the preacher, feeling out of control and fearing the worst. I guess there's some solace in just feeling like I'm better off, or the people that are with me are better off if I am in control. And so I heard my girl Erin talk about this, so I invited her to the podcast. Okay. Erin Cluley, my God, she is the creative director of Joyce Meyer Ministries. If you don't know who Joyce is, then I'm going to need for you to crawl from under the rock you've been under. Erin is about to break this control thing down. I just love her. Everyone needs an Erin in their back pocket, okay? She is cool, she is funky, she is hip, and she is determined to know and love God and share him with the world. If you need a hug and some scripture-based encouragement, honey, Erin is your girl. Okay, I can talk about her all day, but let's get into it. Without further ado, here is writer, podcast contributor, wife, mom, and creative genius, Erin Cluley. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm very excited to talk to you. I've actually been waiting for this moment to talk to you because I love you so much already. Yeah.
Listen, yeah. I got to tell you something. Okay.
Okay. Tell me. I'm ready.
We are officially multicultural because you are on the line with us today. We have crossed over.
You have. Diverse. I love it. I'm so excited.
So it's so good to have you in. Today, for those that really don't know who you are, because I think it is so important to engage with those who are the masterminds and the creatives of some of our most prominent leaders. And many people might not know that you are the creative director for Joyce Meyer's Ministries, someone that I completely love and adore. And so tell us a little bit about what you do, why you do it. And then we got to get into this specific episode, because I saw you talking about being a control freak. And I said, this is it. This is what we're going to talk about today. Okay. So tell our warriors a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Erin Cluley, and I work, like Dacia said, I work at Joyce Meyer Ministries, and I've been there for 12 years. And I started out just as a junior marketing associate, and I would just help people do whatever they wanted. And I have a degree in marketing, and over the 12 years, God has just really put me in different positions there. I've got to learn all these different things. So now I've become the creative director. So I work with all of our creative teams. So that is writers, our editorial team, designers, our web team, TV teams, because Joyce has a TV program where she does her preaching. And so I get to work with all those teams and make sure that what we are saying everywhere is consistent and that we are clearly communicating the gospel.
She is phenomenal. But I saw you guys on like this podcast show. Tell me, what about that particular show gives you the the heart and the passion to continue to be a light in this world? Because I watched one of them and I was like, I'm done. They just read me up and down, right and left. I mean, how gratifying is it to you to know that you're impacting women across the world that you don't even know?
It is. You'll relate to this. It's extremely humbling. Joyce, for those who aren't aware of who Joyce Meyer is, she's a Christian speaker and an author. She's written, over 135 books, just amazing, and just loves the Lord, and God just pours out of her. So getting to work under her and learn just all about the word, and that has just always filled me up. So then I had the opportunity, we started a podcast called Talk It Out. So it's Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast. And so it's me and then two of my girlfriends, and we just talk about life and not just the sugar-coated Christian life, but like, I'm going through this in my marriage and I'm struggling. And then we talk about the Bible and how to apply it. And so it's extremely humbling to put your story out there. And sometimes they're in the room where we record these, it's just the three of us girls, and then four when Joyce is in, and then a couple guys behind cameras, but we don't see them. So I forget there's people watching eventually, or we'll listen to it. So I'm just like pouring my heart out. Jay and Ginger, we're just pouring our hearts out. And then we realize people are going to hear this. But it is amazing how many people we hear say, I'm going through the exact same thing. And I thought I was by myself. I thought I was the only person in this struggle. But to hear you say that you're also facing the same thing gives me such comfort and hope.
Yeah.
And I think the world needs more people saying, yeah, I'm not doing okay. I have faith and I believe God's with me, but also like today sucks. So I think that's the most humbling and rewarding part of doing it.
Right. I think that transparency is the key, especially if we're going to win souls, right?
Yes.
Sometimes we can be in a position to where people think that we're on this pedestal of goodness, like we don't fall, like we don't get depressed or we don't get disappointed or we don't doubt question God. And we do. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think transparency is a key element if we're going to be voices for God. And you got kudos to you guys, because you guys are doing that. And it was inspiring to me. And I'm going to hop straight in because what really touched me in you talking and being transparent about being a control freak. And in that entity, we're talking about your kids. So we're going to get into that.
All right.
a little bit, but for me, it was releasing control. For those that know that I'm in a fertility journey, my husband and I, it was really releasing control of trying to make something happen. Right. Because it got to the point to where, you know, it's like one of my favorite scriptures now, Proverbs 16:33. I'm almost certain, because I don't want to get out the wrong scripture. If not, Google it. Mm-hmm. But it's we may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall. We can keep on trying things, trying to have control over something. But at the end of the day, there's a sovereign God who is going to allow something to happen, or he's going to tell you to wait, maybe not now, or maybe not at all. And that is so difficult to do, because as I think innately as humans, we want control of things. So let's just break down control. Like, what do you think a control freak look? What are the characteristics of a control freak? So we can identify our own, control freakness.
I would like to say, this is bad. Like, the definition is Aaron Cluley is what you look up when you hear control freak, but I am not speaking that over myself, because that's not who I am. Those are tendencies I have.
Right.
Lots of them. But, to me, it's as I've spent time like figuring this out about myself, and it's come out more as I've had kids. That's probably not even true. Like, looking back, I see that also in all of my life, but it's right. The desire to like know what's going to happen and to position things and maneuver my situations or my surroundings or people to get a desired outcome. That sounds manipulative, but
I was just about to say right? that. You better break that down, because that is manipulation.
It is. Sure. It is. Yes. And it's never like for me, I can speak only for me. My intent is never to manipulate somebody, but by having control of the situation or whatever it is makes me feel secure. And so if I know what the outcome is going to be, or I am setting up what this will look like, or I'm telling you how to do this, it's because I feel confident in what's going to happen. So therefore, this is the right thing to do.
So let's talk about as Christians, right? What I know, because it becomes a whole different ball game.
It does.
You take Christian and control freak together, right? Because we're supposed to be in this place of surrendering, but it gets difficult. So what does the Bible say about control, right? Mm. You know, I believe that, I'm not even going to say what I believe. You tell me, because you broke this down. I mean, I'm sorry. I was like, that's so true, because we get into this place where you find out you have absolutely no control. You might as well relinquish it now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but what does the Bible say about it? What are some of the scriptures that kind of you can think of that you're like, this is what God is telling me, or it helps me, you know, with this, this aspect of control?
Sure. Well, there's a couple of verses that I stand on frequently, but one, I was just reading Daniel the other day and I wrote down where it was. I cannot remember verses with chapters. It's really hard So it's somewhere in the Old Testament, but this is Daniel.
That's what Google is for. Like, they got to do the work too.
Yes. It's in there somewhere. You find it. Right. Okay. But I wrote it down. Daniel 3, and it's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they are going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. If you've grown up in the church, you've heard this story forever. If you haven't, it's really great. You should read it. Yeah. But anyways, they say, throw me in the fire. My God will save us. Mm-hmm. Our God will save us from this fire. But if he doesn't, I will still praise him. And so you hear that when you're a little kid, I was like, that's cool. Right.
Chills,
but like as an
Erin.
Adult. Yes. If I apply that to my life now, what does it look like for me? Well, when we were waiting to get pregnant, that means, God, I want this more than anything in the whole world. But at the end of the day, if that is not what you give me, I will still praise you because you're still good. If I am fighting for my marriage and this is what I need, but I'm not seeing it come and I've done all I can do, at the end of the day, you're still good. And if you get a bad diagnosis, whatever it is that happens in life, because we all go through it, no matter what, God is still good. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's to me that feels like open hands.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I want. I'm going to ask, I'm going to beg you, and I'm going to expect you to move. But also, here I am. I trust you with whatever it is.
Okay. We got to talk about these chills that I still have. Okay.
Okay.
Because
you got me preaching over here.
Listen, Erin, it's easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's easier said than done. And I feel like, and this is me being super vulnerable. Mm-hmm. The biggest moment for me was when I was in my prayer closet and I felt the Lord, the Holy Spirit, ask me the question, if I never give you children, will you still serve me? Ooh, mm-hmm. I couldn't answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because your heart's desire and the promises of God, like, you are literally yearning and begging God, but then you're serving him too, right? Mm-hmm. Working in the youth ministry, preaching, using your voice mm-hmm. in the marketplace. And you're like, God, but I'm serving you. Like, you feel like it's right. a reward. And it's just like his promises are a reward. And so I just think it gets really hard and we start to question God and challenge God. Like, but I thought this was the promise. These were the promises, you know, in the word of God that apply to me. Why is this not happening? Or when you're getting to the point to where you see somebody and you know, they get the horrible diagnosis, right? And you're praying for a miracle, but then you don't see it, but then you see it happening to other people, then the comparison thing starts to happen. And you feel like, but I've positioned myself to serve you. I'm not really understanding why these things are not happening or why these things are happening to me. So I say, yes, it's easier said than done. So when we get to a place of hopelessness and we're hanging on by a string, I don't know if you've ever been there, what sustains you? You know, like, what is the mm-hmm. practice? What is, you know, the routine that can help us find hope in a hopeless situation?
You know, what you're saying, it stands out to me, like how we talked about manipulation and control. I had never thought of this before, but I remember in different situations when I'm waiting and begging and frustrated and mad at God, feeling like, okay, well, if I just do this and maybe this at the same time and say no to this, then that will be the formula that will get me what I want, because God will have checked off the boxes I checked off the boxes for God that I need done. And but it never works. It's because God doesn't operate that way. And so then you feel like you're at the end of your rope. And my rope tends to end in just sobbing on a bathroom floor. I mean, I can't count the number of times that I've just cried in my bathroom or like the kitchen sink. I don't, running water tends to bring my emotions out, but I think it's like that and got to pee. But I think something about those places tend to be where I stop and like, I stop moving. And so I have time to think and process. But those are some of the sweetest times, because I have fallen on my face and expressed my anger to God. I'm not one, I fully believe in being honest with him. It's not like he's surprised. He knows I'm pissed. And so I'm going to tell him how angry I am, but then I have to stop and I have to let that anger go, because I know he's good. So I go back to that. That's kind of my thing is I'm mad. I don't understand. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you coming through? Okay. But you're good. And I have seen you good here. And I have seen you good here. And I have seen you good here. And I don't see you good here, but I know you are. I know your character says you're good. This is who you say you are. So I have to stand on that. Mm-hmm. And one thing, I was reading through the Psalms, and if you watch as David wrote the Psalms, he starts so many of them with, I'm mad and I'm upset and what are you doing and why aren't you here? And the language he uses is so much like what we say.
Yeah.
But then he goes through this whole spiel. And by the end, he's like, you're good. I trust you. Deliver me, save me. So it's exactly that thing. He is saying, help me. I'm mad. Also, I trust you. So it's a yes and thing. So like, yes, comma, and yes, I'm mad. Yes, I don't understand. Yes, I want this. And you're good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel both at the same time.
Absolutely. I love David and the Psalms, but this is the one that took me out. In Lamentations, it's Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah is going ham on God. I'm like, lightweight, you disrespecting God. That's how
right?
He was going ham on God. And I had to take a step back because then he switched it. He said, but then I recall your goodness. Like out of nowhere, he flips the script. Uh-huh. And that's where I surrender. When I recall the things that you've done for me, when I recall your goodness, when I recall your faithfulness when I wasn't faithful, when I recall your protection in my stupidness, you know, it is at that moment that I know I'm at a place of surrender. So I'll ask you, what is your place of surrender? What does surrendering look like to you?
Honestly, I would say the times I have, I can look back and think of a few specific times where I have felt total and complete surrender. And to me, it just feels like I can feel a weight lifted off of me. And I feel empty in the right kind of way. Cause you know, when you're trying to make things happen, you're grasping and it's exhausting because you're trying this and you're trying that. And it takes everything out of you. But to surrender to me just feels like a relief and a release of everything you're trying to do in your own strength. And practically speaking, like, how do you do that? I think it looks different in every circumstance. It's not a one-time thing. I don't surrender one time and then I'm good to go and I never pick it back up.
Oh,
to
it's
me,
continuous.
It's a yes, daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes minute by minute, I'm surrendering.
It.
Yep.
That's it.
Because it's in our minds and we have to take every thought captive and say, no, I will not believe that lie. I will stop that. And I choose to believe God is good and I trust him.
Yeah. Yeah. You said it, nail on the head. And you even went into the minute and the second, the hour. Yeah. It's a daily thing. I talk about this so many times. There was a situation that we all know about, the whole Dylann Roof situation. And I remember they had interviewed a family member of someone that he had murdered in the church. And they asked, how could you forgive him? And they said, it's a daily choice. I have to wake up and forgive him daily. And I thought to myself, oh, that's faith. Faith is a daily choice. I have to get up and choose to believe God. I have to get up and choose to believe that you're still good, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday about when you're still waiting, you know, for those promises, expectation plays a big part of that. And I likened it to when I was younger, going to the mall with my cousins, waiting for the public transportation. It was never me sitting still. I was constantly looking to see if the bus was on time. I was constantly, you know what I mean? Like it's active. So releasing control is also not giving up on God, but believing that all things are going to work out for your good and trusting the process.
So when you were waiting, you knew the transportation was coming. You knew it was coming. You didn't stop looking for it and you you were expectant of it, but you didn't doubt it was coming.
Right. And even when it wasn't on time.
Yeah, you knew it was coming. Right. You're right. Timing is not always the same.
Listen.
That's the truth.
Yeah. And even when you think about it, this one, if you missed it or if it was early, it was still coming. Like,
right, right.
It was coming.
That's right. Exactly. Right. It never just not show up.
Yeah, exactly. The odds of it not showing up is very slim to none, right?
Yeah.
But you still have no control of it because you're not driving that bus. You have to
sit there
and you have to wait for that bus to get to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much you huff or puff or look back, you still got to wait because you're not in control. And I thought that was such a good analogy. God dropped that in my spirit. And so you, as a mom of two adorable kids, you got to talk about this because I'm not a parent yet.
But yet.
Come on, Aaron. Yes.
I read your book and I cried and I laughed through it. And I like those babies are coming.
Amen. I received
and I'm standing with you.
Amen. I received that, sis. Okay. So let's talk about it. So how does releasing control play a part when raising kids in a very, very crazy world right now? Like even going to school and hoping that, you know, nothing happens to them, that they are covered. I mean, riding the bike in the neighborhood, there's so much going on. I know, girl, you didn't have some moments of control.
Like you just don't have, like, there's none. There's zero that you get. And I've not dealt with anxiety until I had children. And so that's a new thing for me. So there's a lot of minute by minute surrendering over here. And I was talking to my mom about this recently. The big things of the world regarding my kids don't cause me stress and anxiety because I can't explain it. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I just so fully believe that I know I can't change COVID. I know I can't change the atmosphere of the world right now. All I can do is control what our home atmosphere is like and what we're pouring into our kids. So those don't stress me out so much. It's the little day-to-day things that I can't control that are harder. Things that impact my schedule or what I want to do. It's very selfish when you say it out loud. Those are the ones that are harder for me to embrace the fact that I control nothing.
You know, I think about that too. I try to control a lot other people driving next to me.
Oh yeah. How's that go for you? Does it work?
Not at all.
No. Okay.
Right. Uh-huh. I mean, I had to ask for forgiveness last week. I mean, it was one of those moments where they did the most, that middle finger came up and I was convicted as I was listening to Maverick City music on the radio.
Right on the beat, that hand came up.
Right on the beat. That finger went up when he wouldn't let me over and started speeding up. And it's like, I ram into it. You know, you have no control even in driving. Like literally, you cannot control other people. And here's the other thing that I want to ask you. One of the things that we tend to do is try to be in control of the timing that things happen in our life, down to marriage, down to having kids. Cause you know, it'd be like the biological clock is ticking,
absolutely,
you know, all that. So let's talk about God's timing and how to sit in a place of surrender, believe God and trust the timing. All those are difficult, but at the end of the day, God is sovereign, right? And it's always going to be perfect timing. Aaron, what is perfect timing? Tell the saints. We always share.
I wish I had the answer so badly because I would like it for myself. It's so frustrating. Just to be completely honest, I think it's so frustrating because I believe what you just said. I believe that God is sovereign and that he knows. And because of past experience, I've seen how things worked out. And I'm like, oh man, if it had happened when I wanted it, it wouldn't have been the right thing. It wouldn't have been the right person, the right time, right circumstance. So it's way easier when you've gotten what you wanted, but it's so hard and it's frustrating. And it's like, I know this is the right time, God. So let's just wrap it up here and move on. But it doesn't work that way.
I think God's timing is very unique, that
yeah,
constantly pruning us and maturing us And we don't even know that we're not ready for a thing, you know?
No.
I think about, would God give a 16-year-old the keys to a Bentley? Probably not. You know, they're not ready for that type of maturity, the responsibilities that come along with that. And I'm not talking about the rich kids. That's not what I mean. But I mean, like, you know, in an aspect of putting something in the hands of someone that is not ready to use it. We're not going to give a 4-year-old a knife and say, cut your own apple.
Right.
It's not happening. So I think God's timing has a lot to do with protection, you know, and giving us his loving kindness, grace, and mercy.
Absolutely.
In ordering our steps.
Listening, when I heard you talk on Carol Hobby's podcast, one thing that stood out in your story to me was how God opened these doors for you to do all these really amazing things. But like, you could not have sat down at your table one day and planned out what that map was going to look like, because you can't fathom all those different intricacies of how all these details and when this happens and this, and you meet this person and all those things. Our minds can't grasp that. Yeah. Only God and his sovereignty can align that person and this place and this time to fit all these things together. So when you can step back and see the bigger picture of when he does things like that, then it does give you a peace that he does know what he's doing.
Yeah.
But
he is the creator. He is the master. Yeah. I feel like if he creates the world, why do we think that somehow he got it wrong?
Right. Job is my favorite book of the Bible. Everybody's like, why do you like Job? It's terrible. Because when I think that's kind of sarcastic.
Aaron, it is terrible though.
It's terrible. I mean, it's awful. Like I don't want it to be Job. But if you watch how like Job tells God how mad he is, again, I love that honesty. But then God's like, let me tell you about all the things I've done. Did you put the snow here and keep the sky up there and the oceans to stop there where the sand starts here and all these different things? And Job, I can just imagine Job's like, no, I didn't.
Not at all.
No, I sure did not. All you, God. So to me, like, if God can do all of that and he has all of these different parts of our lives in place, surely he can fix this situation I'm going through. So he'll do it when it's time.
Mm-hmm. When I think about God's timing and it not happening in the timing that you thought, fear comes into play.
Yeah.
And so for me, in my book, it was speaking of the fear that we'll never have kids. The fear that I'll be too old to run in the park with them, right? Fear has a factor in this.
Absolutely.
What do you think, or what are your thoughts about fear and its control over our control, if that makes sense?
I think fear is the base of all of our desire to control, because like you just said, it's, I'm so afraid I won't get this, or I will get this, or this will happen, that the only thing I know to do is like scramble and try and grab the pieces that I can reach to hold them tight. I think fear is a way through control to cling to what we think we have control of, or to not let go of all few things that we see, because what we don't get is so scary. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's just,
Yeah.
I can't see what's coming down the road. All I can see is what's in front of me. So I'm going to hold it for dear life. There's no way I'm going to open my hands and give this to God, because it's all that I have. Don't take this from me, or don't give me this thing I don't want. So I think that is a huge battle for all of us. And I know for me, that's my root of my control. The need to control is fear. Fear of what is to come or isn't to come.
I'll speak specifically for women that I've like recently talked to, friends, colleagues who are believing God to get married. And they see they are now reaching their later 30s, heading into their 40s, you know, believing that these people that they are in relationships, or as we call it, these days, situationships.
Sounds exhausting.
It sounds exhausting. Okay. But as women who are married, I do want to allow you to give an encouraging word to those that are believing God for marriage or even children. And the fear has now taken mm-hmm. hold that this could possibly never happen for them, because I think there's an aspect of expectation, mm-hmm. but then I think we struggle with the reality of what we don't see.
Sure.
And so I just want to speak to that on a more serious note, because I'm praying for my friends. I'm praying for my colleagues, because I do believe that marriage is a blessing from God, that children mm-hmm. is a blessing from God. And we can even go into your dream job that you're still waiting to get into. Let's speak to that, or speak to them on those moments that might be a little bit more difficult.
Sure. That's hard. And to feel that kind of desire so deep in your heart and like to your core, and to wonder what are you doing, God? You say you'll give us our heart's desires. Where are you? And the thing that just keeps coming to me right now is, well, he sees you right where you are, and he has not forgotten you. And it may feel like you are overlooked and everybody else around you has been picked but you, but oh, it's so far from the truth. He created you in your mother's womb, and he knit you together, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are more than a conqueror in Christ. And it's quite the opposite, and he has not forgotten you, but he is instead holding you so close to his heart and protecting you from the things that he is not ready to give you to yet. I truly believe it's a lot of it's God's protection, just like you said a little while ago. Yeah. But it's, he has not forgotten them. It's the opposite of that. He just loves them so much. And that's not a helpful answer. That's not a timing answer. That's not, I don't know. I don't know when it's going to happen for you. I wish I could give it to you. Cause I have friends in the same situation, and I wish I could pick a man and say, here, pick this amazing girl. Y'all just figure this out and let's go.
Yeah. I know.
But doesn't.
It doesn't always work like that, but I think you said it so eloquently. He has not forgotten about you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And maybe those are the things that we need to encourage our friends and family members and colleagues to continue to speak over themselves, that you are worthy. Absolutely. You know, Absolutely. You are worthy and you're not forgotten. I think that that's so good. What accompanies that, Erin, is mounting disappointments. Okay, whether it's moving from one relationship to the next relationship, whether it is getting, for me, negative test behind negative test or miscarriage, the mounting disappointments can weigh so heavy on you, to the point where it thrusts you into this place where you will no longer allow God to control things. I think it's dangerous, right? But it's so real. It's like, if you're not going to do this, then listen, I'm going to go do this, 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 and this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's safer. It feels, because you're protecting your heart. You're afraid to get hurt. And so if I close everything off, including what I think you can do for me, God, because clearly you can't handle it, so I'll just take it into my own hands. So it's fear of getting hurt. One thing that Joyce talks about a lot is having unshakable hope. So regardless of your circumstances, and no matter how much you've been hurt and how deep those disappointments go, we have to constantly expect that something good is going to happen today. And so I think like small steps, like what good thing is going to happen today? It might be the fact that the sun came out, or someone bought my coffee, or I didn't have to wait in line for my coffee, or small things to build your faith, to see that you are not forgotten. And yeah, whatever happened was awful. And our emotions are valid, and we go through some really awful things. So it's not to discount any of that. Those are real. But also, if we can keep our eyes on the good things that are happening and build our hope up and just be continually expectant that something good will happen, then I think it kind of builds us back up and builds our hope back up in what God can do.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes back to the daily, It's a daily thing. And a part of that is having gratitude and expectation. Thanking God for the small things, like you're driving, you can see, you know, a parking space, like you said, you know, by the store. Those are always good, especially during the holidays, right?
That's right. You didn't have to flip anybody off on your drive to that store. That's a good day. Thank you, Jesus.
That's a good day, you know, growth. It is growth. We're right, growing.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And so I think that that is a great way of put it. That is a great way of putting it. And I want to talk to you one last element around this. Comparison. Comparison is the devil. That's how I feel. Okay. I touched on this earlier, but it can be really hard seeing things happening to other people. How do we protect our hearts from jealousy and from envy when we're in a place that we're allowing God to take control of? But at the hands of digital technologies, we are constantly scrolling, constantly seeing people's highlight reels that put us in a place of comparison.
I can't imagine being a high school student at this point in the world, Lord. Let alone like being an adult is hard enough. To be super honest and vulnerable, my husband and I have gone through a year, the past year, and we've had to walk through some things that I didn't expect. And, you know, you hear when you get married, like, you're going to go through trials and you just stay together. And I thought, yeah, of course we will. We got this. And then we didn't get it. And so it was just really hard. And so we're going through this awful time at home and I'm seeing on social media, look at this sweet thing my boyfriend and my husband did. And it's so great. And everything's so perfect. And I love COVID quarantine. And I was like, I just don't want to be anywhere near him. And so then all I could see, because I'm seeing those things, all I could see are the terrible faults of this man that I married. And that's all I looked for. Why are you not like this? Why would you do that? Why do you, what's wrong with you? And this, and this, and this, like making a list of all the wrong things. And so then I got stuck in this really bad place of like, why did I even pick you? And God is so good. He's so good. If you don't give up. And I had to ask, I mean, it took a while. Show me, like, change my heart and show me how to not compare him to the things I'm seeing. I know that's not real. I know that's a highlight reel. I know they have their own stuff in their own houses. This is my house. This is my marriage. Protect it and show me truth here. Yeah. So I had to stop. I had to block it out. Like I couldn't scroll. I couldn't, I think I made a list, or at least mentally, I had to make a list of here's the good reasons. Here's why you picked this man. Here's why you loved him. And you still love him. You still choose him. Why? So it's canceling out those comparisons with the other people and focusing on the positive of why you made your decision for whatever your situation is.
Erin, you just slay so many demons, and I don't know if you know it or not, but you just dropped some mad nuggets, because the enemy is so clever. Like,
yes,
that.
Yes.
And it becomes this moment when you're struggling in that area, that's all that dominates your feed,
yep.
You know, and we have to be mindful to guard our eye gates and our ear gates, and even the things that we're professing out of our mouths, because of the fact that it can be so damaging to the precious things that God has given us that we have lost gratitude for, right? Because let's be honest, neither one of us want to go back to that single life. We don't. I don't want
a situation. I don't want it. I don't have time for situations where you don't know what the situation is.
Right. People are different these days.
Yes.
You know, consistency is not here. I don't want to go back and try to figure it all out. So, you know, and the longer you're married, the easier it is to start seeing the flaws in your spouse. And so I think it's so important that you clarified that you got to go to a place. What are the good things about this person? Yeah. And it goes back to David and to Jeremiah. Let me recall the goodness of God. Let God help me recall why you gave me this mate and the purpose, our purpose, right? Because we can lose the purpose in the daily activities and forget, mm-hmm. no, this is assignment. We have an assignment together. So I think that's so profound. And I am appreciative that you have blessed us with these gems and nuggets today. You have been amazing. I do want to ask you, for everybody that is listening, what is next for you? How can people follow your journey or contact you to stay connected, honey? Because you are connected to the Lord.
Well, let me tell you, I am just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And you know what I mean? Sometimes in life, you know, you're like, this is the next thing I'm going to do. Sometimes you're like, this is why I need to just keep one foot in front of the other. So we're keeping one foot in front of the other. But you can find me and my girlfriends on the Talk It Out podcast, Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast. It airs every other week, available on any podcast, any place you get podcasts. You can find me on Instagram at Erin Cluley. And that's pretty much me.
So we like to play a game and it's called This or That. I'm going to give you two options and you're going to pick either this or that. And you got to keep it real. Okay.
All right. I'm ready.
It might get a little kinky towards the end, but not too kinky. Okay. Here we go.
I'll turn bright red, but I'm here for this.
You're already turning red. Okay. Here we go. Work from home or go into the office?
Go in the office.
Okay. Lose your sight or your memories?
Oh gosh. Sight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sight. Mm-hmm. Chocolate milk or white milk?
Ooh, chocolate milk.
Really?
You not?
No, I don't like milk, period.
Oh, then this is not the question for you. I love chocolate milk. I would drink it all day long.
Really?
Like I'm six.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Here we go. Here go one for the saints. Here goes one for the saints.
Okay. All right.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
See, you're yep. a wine connoisseur.
Okay, I am. Okay. Uh-huh.
I love cooking with wine too. Okay. Morning person or night person?
Morning.
You give me morning.
I'm like a daytime person.
Okay. Okay.
But morning.
Morning. Okay. All right. iPhone or Samsung?
iPhone.
Boo. I just switched to iPhone. Samsung. I'm like, bring me back Samsung.
Oh no, you're going to love it.
I know. I mean, every other thing I have here is Mac, whatever, but I do love
it. It's inevitable.
Head. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Okay. It's about to get juicy. Y'all ready? Okay. PDA, which public display of affection for those that might not know, or keep it cool.
Keep it cool.
Okay. Fun filled mm-hmm. date night or romantic date night?
That's a tough one to pick. It really depends on my mood. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm going to go fun-filled date night.
Okay, cool. All
right. I would like both, actually. I would like this and then that. And then
listen, some of them that come on here, some of our guests that come on here, they be like, both. I'm not choosing. So
yeah, no, I want them both. Okay, thank you. Look,
see? Yeah, got it. Okay, here we go. Wear lingerie or fully naked?
Oh, lingerie.
Really? You know, yeah. you give me lingerie too.
Do, ooh, what does that mean? I think I like that because then it gets me in the right place, in the right mood.
Listen, uh-huh. I'm here uh-huh. for it. I need to uh-huh. buy me some new one. Savage Fenty. I need to get into some Savage Fenty. I heard they have some really great. All right. Sex once a week. Cause you got kids. Sex once a week or three times a day. Three times a day.
Three
y'all.
Times a day.
Listen,
who has time for that? Even if you don't have kids. I mean, I think I'd like it, but.
My producer, she's talking about my producers like, that is my husband. Three times a day.
Three times a day. Bless your heart.
Oh, my, bless you, my child. Oh, Lord. Okay.
I the idea is really nice. I'm going to have to go once a week.
Once a week.
Yeah.
At least once a week, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 Hold on. Okay.
What is it?
You ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Okay. What position? Doggy style or missionary?
This one fits my personality so much. Missionary because I am in control.
Right? Erin, I hate to say this, but how did I know that?
Right? I know I'm not surprising by any of these. But I also like that you know me so well already.
It's so funny. I'm like, Erin, this is totally you. Okay, last one. Here we go. purpose or popularity?
Oh, purpose.
All
that's day. A struggle. That's a struggle.
It is. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To me, sometimes I think you have to fight for that.
Yeah, I agree with you there. One of my saying is purpose over popularity. So I
love that.
With that, and thus far, everyone has said purpose.
You have good friends.
Hey, look, mm-hmm. look, welcome to the family, Erin.
Thank you.
Okay. So we like to end with, what is your definition of a warrior?
I love this question. If I think about like what comes to my mind visually, that's how I think. That's why I work in a creative world. It's somebody who is willing to stand up and infiltrate the enemy and bring light to the darkness.
Woo.
Because it does not mean you have to go out and like speak to crowds and stand up for what's right. If you are called for that, go for it and stand where you're called. But like a mom at home with her kids is bringing light into the darkness by raising those kids up to be followers of Christ. Mm. And in your workplace, you're bringing light into the darkness. So that's my answer.
That is so good. And then it says in the Bible, right, that children are arrows too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I love your perspective there. Well, Erin, it was so good to have you on our podcast. You have been phenomenal. I love your spirit. You are my new friend. I'm putting you in my back pocket. I know the warriors are going to absolutely love this episode. It is a joy and a pleasure to have shared this moment with you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such an honor.
All right, that's all, warriors. I hope you enjoyed this episode on control. Don't forget to like, and if you are an avid podcaster like myself, be sure to subscribe so you can get that good notification when we're on. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and if you are a real one, go ahead and join our private Facebook group for prayer and accountability. At the end of the day, say see ya. I'm signing off. Be bold, be brave, and most importantly, be you. We'll be right back.